Mindset Transformations Radio Show with your host, Coach Myrna. Do you feel the need to do more with your life? Are limiting beliefs holding you back from true success? Enjoy a unique blend of interviews, discussions, and transformation coaching in every show. Get the tools for success. The Mindset Transformation Radio Show with your host, Coach Myrna.
Welcome to the Transform Your Mind Radio Show and Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today we are speaking to Shermonica Slaughter. Shermonica has a very powerful story, and we are going to be sharing that story with you today in the hopes that we can shed some light on domestic violence and sex abuse and how to overcome the pain of that. So, Shermonica, thank you very much for being brave enough to share your story, and hopefully someone that's listening would be inspired. So, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me and allowing me to share my story.
Well, you're very welcome. My audience knows by now that I have a child abuse story. So I'm always, geared to any kind of story that has, you know, abuse in it or with women. So that's basically my foundation. So, I wrote a book called Out of the Snares, A Story of Hope and Encouragement. And my book, you know, talked about encouraging women and getting out of the snares. And the snares can be anything. So today the snares that we're talking about is domestic violence and sex abuse and, how we can break the bonds and then overcome. So, all right. So as we go forward, let me just give you a little background about Shermonica. Shermonica is a woman of God with three beautiful children. She is in the process of obtaining her master's degree in social work, and you will hear her story today. Shermonica wants to help women who have been through similar trials to find their way out of the darkness. She plans to start a nonprofit organization called Help Me Help You, and that is a beautiful thing because, you know, as a woman of God or anybody that's listening that is, you know, women or men of God, we all know that God gives you a test for a testimony. And a lot of times the test is to prepare you for your purpose. So Shermonica has embraced her purpose, and her purpose is to help others. So, again, I always also like to start off the show by giving our audience a feel for the backstory, because the backstory, you know, is very important to the present story. So, Shermonica, tell me your backstory. Can you share your childhood, any prior relationships, your education? I know you're studying for your master's right now, but take us through your point, your journey to this point.
Okay, well, I have three sisters. It was four of us growing up. My mother and father, they were both on drugs, kind of had a hard life my whole entire life and everything. I am also a victim of, I was never molested. I was sexually attacked when I was like seven or eight and everything. I just had a very hard upbringing. Growing up with, you know, with parents being on drugs and everything, and they still are on drugs to this day and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I have three kids. Like you told me, they're by three different men. They were all abusive. But the man I'm going to talk about today is where the real abuse happened that almost cost me my life and everything. And you're right, I am getting my master's degree in social work, and I actually was getting my master's degree to become a probation officer, but when my daughter's situation happened with her being molested, God kind of, he shifted me, and he was like, this is your purpose. I want you to go into social work, CPS work, because you're going to be able to use what you went through because you were able to relate with the mother, and then also you went through it and your daughter went through it, and I've been able to get the glory for it. So I changed it real quick, and it's been wonderful since then.
Wow. That is so sad. God is giving you a heavy burden to carry, and I hope that you have been able to unload some of that to him and have him carry some of it for you. That is a heavy burden. So, your children, your parents were on drugs, and so you don't have any brothers, just sisters?
No, ma'am. It's just me and my sisters, and we have 15 kids between the four of us.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So, yes. But, when you were at home, there were no brothers. It's just the sisters.
No, nope, it was just the girls.
And brothers and drugs. Parents and drugs. And then you said you were sexually attacked. I'm assuming you say it's rape?
No, it wasn't rape. We was living in Birmingham, Alabama. My mother used to have a habit of going to Penelope houses. She would just go there, and they sent us to one out of town. And we was there. We was set up. We was living. I was coming home from school one day, and a group of teenage boys, it was like 10 of them, they just grabbed me, and they dragged me into the woods, and they just began to rip my clothes off of me. And this man, I don't know who he was, he appeared out of nowhere. And he fought them off of me. Like he got them, he fought them. And then he wrapped his jacket around me, and he helped me home. And I never saw him again. And I never told anyone. I just kept it to myself. Because the lifestyle that we were living, all my mother cared about was where she was going to get high next. So I just kept it to my. It wasn't until this year that I told my mother what happened to me. And I'm 34.
Wow. Wow, that is absolutely amazing. I know that this is going to be a tough one for me to listen to and for the audience, because I'm just getting chill bumps all, from that story. So you had an angel at a very early age, so thank goodness that you weren't raped. And I'm also getting I'm getting the premonition that were these boys white?
Some of them were. They were like a mixture of black and white.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. All right. Because I know you were in Alabama, which was the South, right?
Yes.
So I was going in a different direction. I was going on, okay. So both black and white boys were in there. So it wasn't necessarily racially motivated.
No, ma'am.
All right. Well. Mm-hmm. You got saved from that. Thank goodness. All right. So. So when did your domestic violence start? I know that you, the reason I asked you to come on the show is because of your current or your last situation, I should say. But I also got the feeling, I don't like to ask too many questions before the interview because I want it to be fresh to me and as fresh to the listeners as well. But I'm getting the feeling that this scenario was not your first. So you want us to take us through, when you first started becoming a victim, and if you feel that you became a victim was because of your childhood?
Yes, I would say that it was. My abuse started way before I even got with any man. My mother was very verbally and physically abusive, just every day, how she wished she never had us. We were all kind of names. And just, it was, I didn't have no self-esteem, none whatsoever. And then my father was there, but he wasn't there. So I wasn't daddy's little girl. So I looked for him in men. And it led me to, because he was abusive as well, my father. So he was abusive to my mom. It led me to abusive men. I got married at 21. To my son's dad, and he was verbally abusive. He wasn't physical, he was very verbally abusive toward me. He left me and my son. He left us when my son was said to be 2. I got evicted from my apartment. I lost my job because of him. And we'd have nowhere to go until my mother decided, well, I guess you can come stay with me. So I lived with her for a little while until I was able to get back on my own feet. to get my own place. And then me and him got a divorce and whatnot. So that was kind of like, you know, my first little taste of a man with abuse and everything. And I met my oldest daughter's dad. We actually went to high school together, but we didn't know each other in high school. I met him 2 years after my divorce, and we got together. And I had his child 7 months after we met, and 4 months after she was born, that's when the abuse started, and it lasted for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Physically?
Physically. I was beaten, not daily, maybe every other day. He was a monster. He really was. And I have been kicked. He kicked me in my head. I have been punched and choked and slapped and thrown up against walls, dragged through the house by my hair. He used to lock me in closets. He used to whoop me with belts. He would force sense on me when I didn't want to sleep with him.
Oh, my goodness.
Two times he knocked me unconscious, and he got so scared because he thought he killed me. I remember him just hitting me, and I was unconscious. When I woke up, I was naked, and his mother and his sister came. I guess he called them, and he was like, "Oh, she slipped and fell in the bathtub. I don't know what to do," but he didn't call the police or anything like that. So the first time he hit me, he knocked me to the floor in front of my son. And I said something to him in church, because we was going to church together. I said something to him, and he held it all the way, and then he knocked me to the floor. And then after that, it kept on. He got married. He married another woman while we were together. He had another baby while we were together. And my self-esteem was so bad, and it was so low. And he had just beat me down. So I did not know who I was at all. He didn't work. I got up and worked every day. He stayed at home playing the video games while I was at work. Now, he would never mess up my face because I had to go to work. So I would have bruises. I used to wear long sleeve shirts and stuff because my arms, he would just, you know, I would be bruised other places because I had to go to work. I had to pay the bills. He wasn't going to work. So it was 4 years of my life that, you know, I think back on it, and sometimes I get emotional, but, you know, I thank God he's brought me out of it. But he almost killed me. He left me laying in a field, bleeding from my head. He had busted my head open.
Goodness. Oh, you're kidding me. Wow.
Yes, ma'am. I actually had reached out to our local domestic violence houses here, and they were helping me because he wouldn't leave my house. And where I lived at the time, they would have found out someone was living with me, I would have been evicted. So he would tell me, "You can call the police. I'm going to tell your landlord I've been living here so you and your children can be back on the street because I can go back to my mother's house."
Oh, my goodness.
I would be afraid.
Definitely somebody that knows how to control. All right, but before I ask you questions on that, you said that there's more. So you've talked about two. So what happened next?
After him, I met my last little girl's father, and we just ended our relationship in 17. I knew him since 13, you know, but he kind of hid his, you know, ways and everything. It wasn't until we got into a relationship where, you know, it wasn't bad physical abuse like how I experienced with my oldest daughter, dad, but it was real verbally. And, you know, he did put his hands on me a couple times, but it wasn't like how it was in my previous relationship.
Okay.
And
well, we're going to leave him for the main event.
Okay.
So let me ask you something. So I'm always interested in finding out, but I know that, you know, I'm looking at it from a different point of view. And I know that until you are in something, that you can't actually talk about it. But now looking back, I know that you have said that your mother, pummeled you down and you had no self-esteem. So why do you think that you allowed yourself to be beaten almost every day? And why did you allow yourself to go through 4 years of your second relationship with the beatings. And, well, he beat you. He verbally abused you. He, you know, he didn't work. So he was in total control of you. Why do you think that you allowed that to happen for so long?
I didn't love myself. I didn't know who I was. All I knew is that I didn't want to be alone. And I was willing to put up, you know, the old saying, I'd rather have peace of a man than no man at all. And I had never seen a healthy relationship, never seen a healthy marriage. I didn't even know what it looked like, you know, at that particular time. So I kept saying, well, if I just keep loving him, maybe he'll change one day. He'll change. He'll get it together. And it never did. It got worse and worse because I didn't love myself. And I can honestly, to God, admit that. I didn't know who I was. I just knew I was searching for what I never got growing up. Right. We never got that.
Well, I'm going to ask you something again on that because a lot of women stay in abusive relationships because the person is paying the bills, right? Or, you know, he's giving them great sex or there is some kind of trade. So what were you trading for? Just not being alone, or was he giving you something that you didn't mention here?
That's one, not being alone. And two, you know, I had two children by two different men. And so, you know, I was like, well, I just want my children to have a father. I just want to have a two-parent household, and we're just going to get through this. And it wasn't that. It wasn't a happy home at all. My son, who, you know, witnessed a lot of the abuse, he didn't even want to be at home. Period. He didn't want to be there, and you know he would want to be gone with his father, or he just wouldn't want to be there. So in my mind, I'm like, I'm trying to get him home that I never had, but not looking like this isn't a home. This isn't love. He's killing me.
Yeah. All right. So when you're in it, you felt that I want to give a two-parent home to my children. Hopefully, this man will change. Did you love him?
I did. I loved him deeply.
You loved him deeply. Now, why do you think you loved him? Because I'm trying to figure out what the trade was. What did he do for you that made you love him?
You know, I can't say. That's so sad. I can't really say because he didn't do anything. It was a more reflection of myself. And me just willing to put up with anything just to have a man in my life, regardless of what he was doing. Because I saw my mother do it, you know, saw a lot of people in my life do it. So, I can do it too. I can be quiet. I won't say nothing. I'll cover this up. I'll cover that up. And I kept feeling if I pour more love into him, then maybe he'll give it back to me.
Were you a Christian then?
It never happened. Ma'am?
Were you a Christian then?
I was just getting off into going to church. You know, I never really knew the Lord, but we didn't go to church growing up. I found God on my own. So I would go, but I was never, like how I am now, I wasn't like that no more.
Okay. All right. So the reason I'm asking these questions is because I'm trying to get to the root of why someone puts their life in danger with a man that doesn't seem to be giving anything, because most times when you trade, you're trading because you got no place to go and this man is, you know, providing for you. If you're married, then he is the kid's father. You might say that, you know, you want to give your children a two-parent home. So and while you're in it, that's how you thought. But now you have been removed from it for quite some time now. Looking back, why do you think 2011?
Yes, that's not enough.
And so 7 years ago. So now that you have moved out from that, gone into another relationship, why do you think? Is it the same answer? If I ask you to look back on that, would you give me the same answer that you just gave me, that you didn't love yourself and you wanted a piece of a man and you wanted a two-parent family?
With my last situation, there
not
I was.
Get into that one yet. We're just right. I'm trying to get to the second one. The guy that almost killed you, whatever. I'm still trying to figure out why you stayed for 4 years. I can understand a year or 6 months or something. Why did you stay for 4 years? And looking back at it, if there is someone that's listening to this program that is mm-hmm. in a situation like that right now, what would talk to that person and say why it is that you think that you stayed?
I feared him. I was terrified of him, very fearful. And looking back, my biggest regret is that I didn't just take my children and go, regardless of where I would have been, just left. You know, that's like a regret I held on to for a long time, you know, upon forgiving myself and also forgiving him. I was really afraid of him, like truly, truly afraid of him.
So you felt like, I remember watching this movie where, you know, Julie Roberts was living with a man that was beating her like that, and she was afraid to leave because he would tell her, if you leave me, I'll kill you. Was it something like that? And, you know, she had go and pretend to get a new identity and swim an ocean and all that to get away from him.
Sleeping with the enemy. That's the name of the movie.
Exactly. Oh. Sleeping with the enemy. Right. So,
exactly how it was.
Okay. So you felt that, you know, if you left him, he will kill you kind of thing.
Yes. And, you know, he was threatening to kill himself. He even slit his wrist. In my home, you know, saying, because I got to go.
Okay.
I have to leave. Right. And he's living free.
All right. So total control. All right. So now I'm getting it. And now, you know, we are actually able to, you know, to have someone that's listening in understand the mentality that, you know, because we don't just want to tell the story. We want to give insights into the story so that somebody that's listening can, you know, make their own determination if they're in a similar situation. All right. Okay. So, yeah, fear. And that is basically what a bully, you know, any man that beats a woman or any woman that beats a man, because it happens too, they're mm-hmm. bullies. And that's how they control. And they control with different things. They control with the fear. They control with you don't got no place to go. Where are you going to go? They control in all kinds of ways. And those people are, you know, there's a name for them. They're psychopaths. And that's basically what they do. They control. And usually a lot of times they separate, because a lot of women don't have any supporting person. Now, you didn't want to go back to your mama's house, which is probably why you stayed. And you didn't have any place else to go. So that's something called separation, right?
Yeah.
Right. So where was your sisters in this situation? Couldn't you get help from any of them, or they were?
No, actually, they were all in abusive relationships as well.
Wow.
So it wasn't like no one knew what I was going through until after. I didn't tell anyone until maybe like a year after I left him.
Yeah. Right. Okay. All right, so we've gotten a very, you know, very great start. This is going to be one of those stories that's going to, you know, tear at everybody's hearts. So, you know, I'm going to ask you one, you know, last question before we take a break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the last situation, which sounds like it was worse than all the others. All right, so my question I want to ask you, looking back, what have you learned about yourself from these experiences? Why do you think God put you through that? What was the lesson?
I think the lesson would be to love yourself. To first know that God loves you. Because for a long time, mm-hmm. I didn't think God loved me. I actually thought God hated me and mm-hmm. everything. That's why I went through so much. But as I've gotten closer to him and drawn closer to him, I know that's completely opposite. Love yourself. It doesn't matter what's going on. When you love yourself and you know who you are, then there's nothing no one can tell you. And I allow men to manipulate my mind because I didn't have that. Yeah. I'd never seen it. I never knew what it was. So that would be my best advice, is love yourself first with everything you got. You'll never allow anyone to treat you that way, ever. You'll see the signs and you'll get out of there.
Yes. You know, it's very true. Now, you know, I was married, my second husband, And we had a situation where one night I was actually pregnant, and one night somebody we had a we you know I owned a limousine company, and I went to one of these limousine shows, and you know one of the vendors asked me to do something for him, and he gave me a bottle of perfume as a gift. You know, my husband thought that, you know, it was a personal gift, and he thought that I was having an affair with this guy, and he decided to slap me up and punch me up and all that. And you know that I ended the marriage. I had a 5-year-old daughter, but not only did I love myself, but I decided that I was not going to become a battered woman. And it was very high, very, very high on my list of things that I wasn't going to do. Because, you know, I felt that I was, a businesswoman, and I was making money, and I wouldn't allow him to make me become a statistic, a battered woman. And it was because I loved me, and I also wanted to protect what I wanted to become. And I also knew that whenever a man hits you the first time, he will do it again. And no, I wasn't in a abusive relationships, or I didn't see this firsthand. My mom and my dad didn't marry, so I was never in a 2-parent home. Yeah, you know, so I actually never saw that, but I read about it, and I read that once you allow a man to hit you the first time, he will do it again. And I said, you know something, I am sorry, I'm out of here. And I've always looked back at that and felt really guilty because, you know, I took a parent away from my daughter and things like that. But that was basically my line in the sand. And sometimes you have to have boundaries. And when somebody violates your boundaries, you can't cross it. So you're in a perfect example to agree with that statement that, yeah, whenever somebody hits you the first time, they're going to do it again. And it gets worse and worse and worse because then you've given them power over you, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you agree with that?
Exactly. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Yes. Okay. All right. So let's take our first break, and we will be right back. Don't go anywhere. You need to hear what's coming up next. Stay tuned. If you would like to improve the quality of your life and don't have the budget to hire a coach, then I have an offer for you. Why not play the game of life and learn the skills to maneuver life situations? How many of you have played the game of Monopoly and learned the value of having property to collect rent? Well, Points of View is a leading company in the field of training for personal and business development. Points of View use games to explore significant life themes in a fun, unique, and powerful way. Games are designed for use by professionals, organizations, or individuals. The games are designed to help you look deep inside yourselves and the environment around you. It is a stimulating exploration that sharpens your senses and opens up new possibilities. So who can use Points of View games? Anyone wishing to reconnect and enhance communications with themselves and others. Anyone in search of fresh perspectives on dilemmas, relationships, and decision making. Those seeking interchange and the opportunity to build new bridges. Points of View is a collection of various games. The coaching game features 65 associate cards that explore significant everyday themes. Punction fosters associate connections between photos, themes, and questions. These flexible combinations make it a fascinating tool, highly effective in dynamic therapy, coaching, and counseling. Faces is a powerful way to get to know ourselves through the observation of others. For more information or to purchase one or more of these games, head over to https://poy4all.com/transform, which is TRANSFORM. These games would make perfect Christmas gifts for someone that you love so that they can have coaching in a fun and exciting way. So, once again, that website is https://poy4all.com/transform.
Having trouble getting a merchant account? Need an international payment gateway? Rejected by another merchant account provider? No problem. iPayTotal wants your business. Our high-risk merchant accounts allow you to accept all major credit and debit cards. Our Motto payment gateway allows accepting transactions on the phone. iPayTotal delivers payment solutions and products to help grow your business. Contact us now for your payment processing at info@iPayTotal.com or visit iPayTotal.com. www.ipaytotal.com, your online payments provider.
Welcome back to the Transform Your Mind with Coach Myrna radio show and podcast. Today I am speaking to Sharmonika Slaughter, and we are talking about a very powerful story of domestic violence and sex abuse, starting all the way back from Sharmonika's childhood. Now, if you're a regular on listening to this podcast, you know that I have had several guests on that talked about your childhood years and how your childhood years influence your entire life. And Sharmonika is actually very bravely telling us about how it started, how her mother and father was physically abusive and on drugs, and she has followed into that traumatic lifestyle because of how she started out. So in our first segment, we talked about her first, you know, we talked about, you know, Sharmonika got married at 21, which is actually a very good thing because that signaled that she was on the right path getting married, but of course she chose the wrong man, and he was really abusive, and then you know, he left her, and then she went in to another relationship, you know, a couple of years after that one, and that one almost killed her. It got worse than the first one, and now we are going to talk about the third one, which is even worse than the first two. So we're getting progressively worse. So now we, and I would tell you that I saw Sharmonika, you know, placed her story on Facebook on a group that I'm on. And I immediately reached out to her because it was such a powerful story. And again, you know, I myself was, you know, sexually abused as a child. So I'm a magnet for stories like that. So, Sharmonika, let's get into talk to us about what happened in the third relationship. And I know it involved you and your children.
Yes, ma'am. I met him in 2013, and right away we just started a sexual relationship. He was always saying, I don't want a girlfriend. I just want to have someone to have fun with. And me thinking I can handle it, okay, that's fine. I got pregnant 7 months after meeting him as well. I got pregnant with my third daughter, so here I am, third child by a third man that I'm not with. And, you know, I was kind of depressed the whole pregnancy. But in 2016, me and him got together. You know, he came to me, he used God to get in the door and was like, God told me you're my wife and this and that, and he moved in the next day. By 3-4 months, the relationship, it was wonderful. You know, it was just like, you know, he's a narcissist. He's a covert somatic narcissist. He's very sexual. He uses sex with everything that he does. So about 4 months into the relationship, that's when things just start going bad. You know, like I say, it was more verbal and mental abuse than anything. He, you know, he pushed me against the wall. He, you know, he put his hands on me, but it wasn't like how it was in the first, in my previous relationship. He proposed, and we were getting married, and 50 days before the wedding, he called it off. He left. He jumped on me in front of my children, and he left. About a month before he left, my 7-year-old, she was 7 at the time, she came to me and said, he put grease between my legs. And I was like, huh? You know, it kind of caught me off guard. And when I went to ask him about it, he was like, no, she said she was hurting down there. So I did her and our daughter. I just put grease between both of their legs. And I was like, you don't touch her down there. I was like, what? Why? And it was just all that. He started a complete argument. And then, like, after that, he just started not coming home. He just really started to distance. And so he called away, and he jumped on me in front of my children. He almost, and he, you know, fractured. I had to go to the hospital and everything. Wow. My son had to help me fight him, like, get him up off me because we was in here fighting and everything. My son jumped in and helped. And this was July of 17, September of 17 is when I found out that he had molested her. I started going to a new church, and they have life groups at this church, and the lady there, she was sharing her story about her father molesting her, and wow. It just started putting things. I was like, wait a minute, he was kind of doing this and doing that, and I went up and asked her, I think something has happened between him and my daughter, but I don't know how to, you know, say something. And she was like, we'll sit down together with her and we'll talk about it. And when we sat down with her, she just broke down and told me everything that he had been doing to her. And it was almost like a second heartbreak to me, because I was dealing with the breakup from the relationship, and then to find, you know, that the same age, you know, because my mother was molested at 7, I was sexual attacked at 7, and then now to find out my 7-year-old was molested by someone I was finna marry, and then we share a 4-year-old together. It was it was devastating. And so I immediately contacted the authorities and, you know, got everything going. And, of course, you know, he lied, and he actually ran from the law. Like, they was trying to find him to interview him, but it took like a month before he finally came in. So, you know, he say I'm lying. He say it never happened. You know, I'm making all this up because I'm bitter. I'm just a bitter ex, and, you know, he lived 6 minutes from me. Even I have a restraining order against him. He lived 6 minutes from me with his new girlfriend. They don't say that far from my
house. Girlfriend. Wow.
Yeah, he's 40, and
she doesn't have any
children.
Okay.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, she does. He's 40, and she's 23, and she just had his 5th baby.
Oh, wow.
And she has a daughter that's my age as well. He goes with single women who have daughters. I had noticed that. As you know, me going through his process, yeah, every woman he's been with, they have little girls.
Because he wants to touch them. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
So that's where we're at now. We're at the process. We're about to get ready to go to trial. And he's facing 30 years.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So, you know, you said something earlier that I want to touch on here. I'm getting chills again. You mentioned that when the guys, the 10 boys that pulled you and was trying to tear your clothes off, you never said anything to anyone about it until, you know, you're in your 30s. The same thing that happened with me. When I was sexually abused, I didn't tell anybody until I was in my 40s as well, because that's what happens. Not normally when you're not raped, but when you are, you feel shame about it. You feel guilt. You feel all these type of things. So you don't tell anybody. And, you know, there are several groups out there that, you know, one's called Speak Your Silence, because they know that people don't talk about it until they're much older. I listened to Lewis House podcast, and he was abused at 5 years old, and he never told anybody again until he was in his 30s, and he's a man. So what happened? So one of the things that I'm very surprised at, though, is that you got your daughter to talk. Tell us about that. I mean, she came to you and she told you that he had rubbed something between her legs, and that's a grease between her legs. But how did you get her to tell you the full of what he did? How did that happen?
Well, when we was right there with the young lady, you know, she kind of, my daughter love animals. She love animals. And so, you know, the lady, she has this puppy. So she kind of, she didn't just like jump right into it, you know. She, mm-hmm. We were just all sitting there talking, and you know, she kind of would ask her questions. And then, you know, she asked her, you know, has he ever touched you in any way? And she looked at me, and I was like, Kamora, whatever's going on, you don't have to be afraid. It's a safe place here. And then that's when she told everything that, you know, that he was doing, wow. that he was doing to her. He never penetrated her. He never did that, but he did, you know, his charges are, ma'am?
He just touched her with his finger and stuff?
He did a lot of things to her. I don't really know if your viewers would be comfortable hearing it. I don't know. You know, if they would.
Well, no, that's fine. I mean, you don't need to get into details because, you know, she's a child and all that. But, all right, he never penetrated her, but he did all kinds of other stuff to her, and she told, including the rubbing the grease and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, wow. So he is, she talked about it. I'm just very glad that she did. And that's going to save her. You know, she's going on a tough road ahead, but the fact that she's talked about it, it's going to save her, because the people that don't talk about it and keep it inside of them, it shows up in their life in so many different ways. So yeah. I'm glad that, you know, you were lucky enough to take her to someplace that was safe, because the reason she didn't tell again, like I just mentioned, we feel guilty and we feel it's our fault, and you know, and, you know, you feel certain ways about yourself, which is why you don't tell. It's the shame and the guilt that goes with it. This is why, you know, children don't talk about it. But, you know, the parents as well, sometimes you've got to be able to read body languages. And, you know, because I was sexually molested as a child, you know, I was on my guard with men and people that I bring into my house because of the fact that I knew. But a lot of parents wouldn't even think of that. You know what I mean? So they're not very vigilant. So now looking back, you know, what would you say to a mother that has, you know, young women in her house her children in her house with a man that's not their dad? What would you tell them that they've got to be vigilant about?
Well, you were right about one thing, body language. And we are all in counseling, me and my children, through the DHR here. They have provided free counseling for all of us. And I would ask myself that over and over again, Shamanika, why did you see something? Shamanika, you should have noticed something. And I would beat myself up. And the counselor told me I have to stop doing that. Because she was like, they're very crafty, they're very sneaky, they're especially if they've been doing this for years, they know what to do. And looking back on it, he kept up so much hell in my house between me and him, where all I was focusing on was what me and him was going through, and the fighting. That was a reflection right there for me to be focused on that, so I don't focus on what you're doing to my daughter.
Yes, distraction. That is a perfect. That's a narcissistic person. It's a sociopath. They're all very cunning, and they go into this with a game plan. So that makes total sense, right? So you can even be concentrating on reading your daughter's body language because you're so caught up in what's going on between you and him and the dysfunction of the family. Okay, but did she give you any signals now that you were thinking about it? Did she not want to be in his company? Did she recall from him? I mean, what are some of the signs that people should look for?
She just became very withdrawn. She had started wetting the bed, used the bathroom on herself. She had started failing at school. She was number one and number two because looking, in counseling, a lot of times they say abused children, they'll want to keep themselves nasty down there in the hopes that maybe the abuser won't bother them. So
oh
she
my
was
goodness.
Doing that, and
yes.
she was failing at school. Me and him was even yes. going up to the school together, like having parent counseling.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know all along what's going on because her teacher would say, I don't know what's going on with her. She just seemed okay. like her mind is another place, and that's what it was all along.
Oh, my goodness.
And yes. I would tell her, you know, what's going on? You can talk to me. But he already had her mind. He had her thinking that she would be in trouble. If you tell what's going on,
yeah.
you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, in trouble, of course. Mm-hmm. Right. And sometimes they even threaten them, you know what I mean? Maybe he did it, but sometimes they do. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. That is so terrible, so terrible. All right. So, yeah, well, thank you for sharing that part because, yes, there are signs of, you know, in the child, whether it's withdrawal, whether it's, you're right, they're failing at school, they're, you're right, you know, they're a whole bunch of things. And that is why the teachers are bound by the law to notice things and report it because children don't talk, but they show different signs. And one of them is failing, you know, uncleanliness, that kind of thing. Because, yeah, oh, my goodness. Poor child.
Yeah.
All right. So now she, how does she feel about testifying?
Well, I go to court next week on September 20th. I go and we'll actually get the trial date because he's been resetting the court dates. He's been doing everything he can to just prolong this and you know, keep it out of court and just trying to do his best to try to stop it, you know, to stall it. But we go next week to get the trial date. She's terrified to testify in front of him, but, you know, she's ready. Yes. And, you know, she's very brave, and counseling has really, really helped her. It's really helped all of us, but it's really helped bring her out of her shell that she was up in. You know, she was having nightmares, and and it was just it was a rough road for a minute there.
How old is she now?
And everything. She's 8. Her birthday is next month. She's going to be 9 next month.
1 year older. Wow. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Right, yeah, because you said 2017. Sorry, yeah, so she's just 1. Oh, what a heavy burden for a child. All right, so, you know, thanks again for, you know, bringing this horrible subject to the, you know, to the masses because, I could not believe how many African American children are sexually abused. There's a large number, and because, like I said, I was sexually abused as well. You know, I am, you know, magnetically attracted to anything that has to do with that. And I remember seeing this post on Facebook once, and it says, you know, hey, don't drop your kids off at the auntie's house and the uncle's house and all these different places because you feel you can get free babysitting because those people are abusing your children. And it's not always where the boyfriends or the husband, somebody's coming into the house. Sometimes it's where you leave your kids. So anybody that's listening, if you have, and it's now it's not only just centered on the girls, boys are being sexually abused as well. Yeah. So you've got to be vigilant. And you've got to protect your children. I mean, I wrote a story in my book about, you know, I was living with my sister and her husband was living with me when my daughter was, I don't know, 3 or 4 or something like that. She was very young. And he started going to bathe her. And they would go into the bathtub together, him being nude, and he's bathing her, and she will be pulling on his little, you know, penis, right? Mm. When I found out, oh, my God, I'm getting chills about it now still. When I found out, I hit the roof. You know what I mean? I'm thinking, don't you ever do that to my child. Now, he thought it was all fun, you know what I mean? Maybe he would do that if it was his own child because that's what, you know, parents do. They go into the bathroom with their children and they shower. But you don't do that when it's not your child. You know, my husband would say that, you know, when his daughters were young, he wouldn't even put his hand between their legs to wash it. You know, there are certain protocols that you have to follow. And these are where, you know, women have to, you know, get involved and stop things like that, because you never know where the man's mind is. And it's not only, you know, stepfathers or boyfriends or whatever. It even happens to biological kids. There are some men that abuse their biological children. So we're talking on a very negative subject, but there's nothing wrong with being vigilant, and there's nothing wrong with protecting your children, because that is what we are supposed to do. You know what I mean? So any rebuttal on that?
No, ma'am. You're absolutely right.
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely.
All right. Well, we'll take our second break, and we'll be right back to wrap up the show. Don't go anywhere. Be right back. If you would like to improve the quality of your life and don't have the budget to hire a coach, then I have an offer for you. Why not play the game of life and learn the skills to maneuver life situations? How many of you have played the game of Monopoly and learned the value of having property to collect rent? Well, Points of View is a leading company in the field of training for personal and business development. Points of View use games to explore significant life themes in a fun, unique, and powerful way. Games are designed for use by professionals, organizations, or individuals. The games are designed to help you look deep inside yourselves and the environment around you. It is a stimulating exploration that sharpens your senses and opens up new possibilities. So who can use Points of View games? Anyone wishing to reconnect and enhance communications with themselves and others. Anyone in search of fresh perspectives on dilemmas, relationships, and decision making. Those seeking interchange and the opportunity to build new bridges. Points of View is a collection of various games. The coaching game features 65 associate cards that explore significant everyday themes. Punction fosters associate connections between photos, themes, and questions. These flexible combinations make it a fascinating tool, highly effective in dynamic therapy, coaching, and counseling. Faces is a powerful way to get to know ourselves through the observation of others. For more information or to purchase one or more of these games, head over to https://poy4all.com/transform, which is TRANSFORM. These games would make perfect Christmas gifts for someone that you love, so that they can have coaching in a fun and exciting way. So, once again, that website is https://poy4all.com/transform.
Having trouble getting a merchant account? Need an international payment gateway? Rejected by another merchant account provider? No problem. iPayTotal wants your business. Our high-risk merchant accounts allow you to accept all major credit and debit cards. Our Motto payment gateway allows accepting transactions on the phone. iPayTotal delivers payment solutions and products to help grow your business. Contact us now for your payment processing at info@iPayTotal.com or visit iPayTotal.com. www.ipaytotal.com, your online payments provider.
Welcome back to the Transform Your Mind with Coach Myrna radio show and podcast. We have been speaking today to Sharmonica Slaughter, Shamanika has a powerful story of you know, domestic violence, and you know, her daughter has been sexually abused by her boyfriend and father of her child. So as we wrap up the show today, I want to thank Shamanika, because yes, I love the fact that this is now your calling, that this is now your platform, that you want to help, you know, your new company is going to be called Help Me Help You, because, you know, women need help. They not only need someplace safe to go when they are in abusive relationships, but they need the support of the church, they need the support of friends, and they need to know that not only God loves them, but that they should love themselves. And, you know, support is very important. So we're almost out of time, but I just want to give Shamanika one last, ask her one last question, and that is, you know, in your story, and you started off by saying that it started from your childhood and why you think that it's happened to you. But, you know, how do you think that you've got two daughters and a son, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Right, okay. So how do you think that you can, you know, parent your daughters so that this doesn't continue on in their life experience? How are you going to?
Well, ever since this experience has happened, we have gotten closer, my daughters and my sons. And they know that they can come to me to talk to me about anything. And although it was a horrible situation that happened, it really got me to focus on loving myself. So that's what I teach my children. I teach them about God. I teach them about self-worth. I teach them about loving themselves.
Yes.
And that's they're going to go far in life. And trusting God, that's the only way you can make it through this situation, is trusting God.
Yes. And don't go looking for love in all the wrong places, because you mentioned that, and that's exactly what happens.
Exactly.
Right.
And,
okay.
And what I want from my organization that I'm looking to start, it actually was prophesied to me from someone. Okay. I want women to know that it's life on the other side. I didn't see it when I was going through it, but just keep going through it.
Yeah,
just keep never give up. It's so much better.
Right, you never see it.
You never know.
Right, and you also said you didn't want to be alone, and you thought that half a piece of man is better than no man. And that's not true. That's not true.
It's very not true at all.
Comfortable, right? You have to be comfortable with being alone. In fact, if you're going to be any good to yourself, you have to be comfortable being alone. And once you're comfortable being alone, then you're not going to just pick up any trash on the street because you just want a man. It's not worth it. The pain that comes with it is not worth it. And like you said, he wouldn't leave your house, because sometimes you can't even get rid of them. They refuse to leave, right? So, right. So it's just better to wait until you find someone better. And there's always somebody for you. You know, people might not see it that way, but we all have a soulmate, and we all have somebody that's put in this earth for us. And all you got to do is be patient and believe in God and keep praying. All right. So, all right. Well, listen, thank you so much for tuning in to the Transform Your Mind radio show and podcast with Coach Myrna. Today, I wanted to transform your mind on when you're in the desolate places and you think there's no hope, there's always hope. Like Shamanika said, God loves you. You need to love yourself, and you need to believe that you can do better, right? Do not be downtrodden. Do not let anybody, man or woman, take away your self-worth and your self-value, because you're a child of God and you're valuable. So don't let anyone take that away from you. And if somebody's not treating you right, you walk away. You walk away. So that is what I wanted to transform your mind about. I'm so grateful that Shamanika shared her story. And
thank you.
You're very welcome. Want to encourage you all to subscribe to the Transform Your Mind radio show and podcast. The podcast is available on all the podcast players, iTunes, Stitcher, Tuning, Google Plus, Spotify. And, of course, we are on the radio every Wednesday at 5 p.m., 5 to 6 o'clock at WDJY 99.1 FM. I would love for you to rate and review the show so that I can reach a wider audience, because every week I bring you good content on how to live your best life now. So once again, thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Shamanika, for your bravery.
Thank you
and
so much.
For and for
so
going over to the other side. Yes. Yes. You're like a caterpillar that's come through the darkness, and now you're going to be turning into a butterfly. So,
amen.
Go
amen. God bless you so much. Thank
All
you.
Right. You're very welcome. So until next time, namaste.